God. He's not quiet. He is a noisy God. He's theatrical in the things that he does. Think about that. When he came up to the Red Sea, the Bible said with a blast of his nostrils, the sea departed. He blew his nose and the sea just hooked it. Bless God, got out the way. He's an all-consuming, powerful God. And he's loud. Very noisy. He don't walk around like this. He don't do that. He is loud. One day he's coming back. He's going to holler so loud, it's going to blow your grandma right out the grave. He's a noisy God. He expresses what he feels. You need to know him tonight. He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Verse 26. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Notice dominion. Over the fish of the sea. So if you're a fisherman, you ought to catch fish. If you've got dominion. Over the fowl of the air. If you're a bird, honey, you ought to get birds. Over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him. Male and female created he them, and God blessed them. You notice he didn't say God tried to kill them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful. I love that. And multiply. And replenish the earth. And the next two words most people forget, or three words, and subdue it. Kind of an odd word. And subdue it. See, God was hinting to Adam that in a perfect society, there are going to be some things get out of line. So subdue it. Put it down. What he was saying was, snake coming. Snake coming. Subdue it. Put it down. Snake coming. See, my father, when I lived with him, he subdued me. I'll never forget his famous words. He used to tell me, boy, I brought you here. I can take you out. Don't mess with me, son. I'll kill you and make another one look just like you. And I'd say, okay, okay, Dad. He would subdue me. Subdue me. So notice that. It's kind of odd that God would use that kind of word in a perfect society. But God was letting him know there's a snake coming with a mouth. Shut him up. Because you have dominion over everything God created. Of course, Adam didn't do that. I want to talk about that in a sense. That the first close encounter of the God kind came through Adam. Adam is the only man in the flesh that saw Jehovah Elohim, Yahweh God, face to face. He was 2 inches from his nose, and God said he breathed into him. He didn't give him CPR. Because if he'd have done that, he'd have grabbed him by the nose and breathed in his mouth. But the Bible said he breathed into his nostrils. And Adam opened his eyes and saw the Creator. A close encounter of the God kind. And when someone dies, I'll show you how it happens. That same breath that baby receives when it's born, God is 2 inches from that person's mouth, from that person's face. And when they go, oh, he receives that breath of life back into himself. He breathes and things start living. He inhales and it comes back into him. Think about that. That's what we made in his image and in his likeness. In my first encounter, as I said earlier, the Lord always bothered me. I never did understand God, and I'm not a unique individual by no means. People say, why it happened to you? I don't know why. I'll just tell you, it just did. But my first encounter with the Lord, as far as where I could physically understand what was going on, I was about 9 years old. I never feared God because I didn't know if he really existed. I didn't understand God. I was afraid of God. I knew if God would come to town, he surely would kill me. Well, at 9 years old, I'll never forget it. I was not afraid of God. I had my first vision of the Lord. We lived in a mobile home, and I just went back to my bed to go to bed, and I saw a man come up to me, point blank, blunt. It was like a vision. He was in the sky. And it was thundering and lightning. And he said, fear God, boy. Fear God. I thought, man, I got scared. I ran back to my mom. I said, I saw this guy. And he told me to fear God. And you figured my mama would say, okay. She said, you're heathen, son. You got to fear God. I didn't understand God. I was scared of God. But yet I sensed his spirit around me at all times. I mean, as a small child, I would know it. I could feel and sense the presence of God. And what would happen, what I did not know until I was a man, was I have an older brother and a younger brother, and I'm the middle son. I also have a sister. But my mom came in there after she got saved, and she said, "Lord, I want a preacher." And I was in the middle. There was three of us in the room, you understand? Which one's going to be my preacher? And the Lord said, "Jesse." And my mom said, "No, it can't be Jesse. Not Jesse, man. He's a heathen, man. He's a heathen, man." And she laid hands on me while I was asleep. Now, I don't know this. I don't even remember it. She told me later on after I got saved and said, "God, I ask you to call, you calling this boy. He may not realize it, but Lord, wherever he goes, follow him." And God honored his word to my mom. I couldn't go nowhere. I'd be smoking dope, snorting cocaine, man. And I could hear God. "Hey." And I'd look at my drum. "Did you hear that?" "I ain't heard nothing." I said, "Man, God's in here." "Whoa, man." You know, and people thought we were just bad tripping, but what it was the Spirit of God honoring mom's voice wherever I would go. I'll never forget one time I went to Mexico, and it was in a terrible, terrible place where sin was running rampant right in the middle of this club. I mean, I can't even mention the things that were going on in Mexico in this club where I was. And I heard God holler in an audible voice, "Get out of there now!" And I hooked it. I just stood up. Jimmy was with me. He said, "What's the matter?" I said, "God said, let's get out of here." He said, "Who said it?" I said, "God. He's going to kill us all. Let's get out of here." I never forget it. And I hooked it out of that place. I left. I went back to my hotel room and I called New York. I actually called Houma, Louisiana, where my mother and them lived. And I said, "Mama." She said, "Yeah, it's in that old nasty, stinking, slutty looking nightclub." And I was praying. God told me there it was. And I prayed for God to tell you to get out of there. Did you hear him? I said, "He has spoken, Mama." I mean, it happened. Close encounters of the God kind. Constantly. As a small boy, everywhere I'd go. I'll never forget one time I told a teacher this. I said, "The Lord follows me." She looked at me and went, "Yes." I said, "I'm not kidding you. He followed me. He'll probably come through this door in a minute. I don't know." I knew it. And she said, "Now, what would make you believe that?" I said, it's just happening. Of course, she didn't understand it. And I didn't understand it, but Mama understood it. She knew it. At 17 years old, I borrowed one of my girlfriend's cars, and I was driving it back. And I was about ready to encounter another close encounter. I'm leading you up to the heavenly vision. And on the tape, it takes 3 hours to do this, but I'm going to condense it. To make a long story short, I was driving, and my mother had told me the day before, she said, "Jesse, I saw a tidal wave of the blood of Jesus over you, boy." And I thought, oh, here she go with this spiritual stuff. I was 17 years old. I said, "That's nice, Mama. That's nice. Thank you. Thank you." I said, "I don't want to hear about that." She said, "I tell you what, Paul," my father was Paul. She said, "Paul, I saw a tidal wave of the blood of Jesus over Jesse." And Daddy said, "Well, that's good." He always called my mother Mama. "That's good, Mama." She said, "I don't know what it means, but there's something, something." And the next day I was in a car and I was driving down the road. You know how 17-year-old boys drive. And I was driving pretty fast and I went to the left-hand side to pass this car, and it was a rainstorm coming. I mean, just raining, but I decided to pass it anyway. And the engine, and I took a chance. I mean, it was a close call. And I got up to about 65, 68 miles an hour to pass this car, and the engine went dead. It was one of those Corvairs. Y'all remember those little Corvairs? And of course, the car was coming at me in my lane, and I didn't know what to do. I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, no engine, nothing. I mean, just, I guess the water just went in the back and just drowned out the engine. And what I should have done was just leave it in gear, but as a stand, I put my foot on the clutch. If I'd have left it, at least it stopped some. I lost control of the car, and I flipped the car 3 times, in over in, flipping. I lost control, went to the side, jumped the 6-foot mailbox, and started flipping. And I'll never forget this. As I was flipping, I was holding onto the steering wheel. And I saw the door go, just break the door, and a piece of jagged steel was coming at me. You know, it was coming as it's like an accordion. The car was starting to bend like this. And something grabbed my shoulder. I mean, grabbed me and held me in that seat. The steering wheel broke in my hand. Now, watch this. When the steering wheel broke in my hand, popcorn came out the steering wheel. popcorn. I'll never forget, I went, popcorn. But I had this hand on my shoulder. When I came to a stop, they had to cut me out with a welding torch and made the papers. I mean, my shoulder was jammed up. I was upside down, was on the roof upside down. But this hand was on my, I couldn't see the hand, but I had the pressure. And I went, whoa, what is in here? And I felt the hand of the Lord. I knew it was God. See, I didn't know at that time, but now I knew what it was. I mean, it slowly came off of me. And people had stopped. They said, the kid at the car catches a fire, burn up. They had to cut me out. And I kept hollering, there's popcorn in here. Popcorn. And they thought I was in total shock. And I had a close encounter with the God. God literally held me. Because you see, when the steering wheel broke, I flew over to the other side where that piece of steel of that car was. And it went right through my side and would have killed me. That's that. I mean, that hand holding me physically down. Just held me. And I'm looking, and I went, oh, God, what is this? What is this? But, everybody thought I was in shock. The ambulance guy picked me up, and they cut me out, and I fell into the mud. And I said, hey. And they just grabbed me, and said, don't move. And if you don't die in a car accident, you'll die in an ambulance the way they drive. Rushing me to the hospital. And I kept saying, there's popcorn. Popcorn came out the steering wheel. They go, the guy's in shock. He's in shock. And they're hooking me up and all that. I said, listen, somebody grabbed me. Somebody grabbed my hat, my shoulder. I'd have died. I was flying over. And they went, yeah. And, couldn't say anything. But I knew something had happened. A close encounter of the God kind. I got to the hospital. They called my mom and dad. They come a rushing. And what was amazing, my mom was 2 minutes behind the accident. Or actually 2 minutes behind the ambulance picking me up. And when they drove by, my mother didn't know. I'm in the ambulance going the other way. She said, Paul, let's pray. That's a terrible accident. Pray to God no one died. And I'm her son. And she don't know this. And they get to the, when I got to the hospital, I told them to call my mom. So they came a running. And this is kind of funny. And boy, they called my mother. I said, Mama, I said, I'm in this accident. And then I heard her go, Paul. And then she realized that the accident she had just passed, it was me. She said, did you feel anything in that car? I said, Mama, popcorn came out the steering wheel. That went right over her head. She said, besides that. I said, Mama, somebody grabbed my shoulder. She said, Paul, that's that blood tied. That's the blood of God over Jesse that I saw the other day. That's God protecting my boy, pulling him down into that car so he wouldn't die. And I'm thinking, Mom, I said, Mom, she said, don't move. How can I move? I will be up there. Boy, I mean, they got in the car and ran like crazy. And my mom always worried about boys, And I, she comes in the hospital. She said, are you all right? Are you all right? I said, yeah, Mom, I'm all right. She said, she saw all these doctors and they were undressing me. She said, is your underwear clean? Is everything okay? You know how Mama is. It's embarrassing. I said, Mom, after the third flip, me this kind of stuff. But Mama worried about that stuff. Y'all had a mama like that? Worried about that. Well, you know how boys, oh my God, she wants you to change underwear. We just turn them inside out and put them on, Didn't make us no difference. We didn't care. You boys are crazy. You don't care. Worrying about underwear and I'm getting killed in a car. I got one cut on my hand and one slight cut over my eye. I would have died in that car. And they said, it's impossible for a person to live. Made the headlines. And they told, and they said that this young man said that something grabbed him and held him in the car. When I got home, the next day I was so sore I could hardly move. I said, Daddy, I want to go see that car. I said, Daddy, popcorn, come out stand with me. He said, what is wrong with you, boy? Why are you saying that? I said, everybody thinks I'm crazy. I'm telling you, popcorn, come out the steering wheel. I want to go see the car. So we went to a place called Abair's Wrecking Yard. They had to pick that car up with a winch. And when I got there and looked inside, the whole bottom floor of the car was full of popcorn. And what we ascertained was that there was a bag of popcorn in the glove compartment. And at the time the car was flipping, at the time the steering wheel broke in my hand, the glove compartment flew open, the popcorn hit the steering wheel, and I see popcorn, man, everywhere. And I realized, while the it registered so much in my mind, to prove to people that I wasn't in shock, that I knew what I was seeing. You see, different close encounters of the God kind, those things. Well, as I began to, get more and more sin, I would walk down those corridors getting ready to play nightclubs and rock concerts, and I could hear the Lord talking to me. It was in my mind. I'd say, leave me alone. Leave me alone. And sometimes I'd stop and just go call long distance, and I'd say, it'd be my mom or Kathy, y'all praying? Quit praying! And I'd slam the phone down. And I mean, it was bothering me. It was God reaching us. That prayer at 5 years old, wherever he go, I'll follow him. Trying to get away from it. Well, you heard the story of how I got saved. And the Lord called me into the ministry. Now, he didn't call me immediately into the ministry when I got saved. God don't send babies on the field, their pampers will fall off. You got to submit to the authority of a pastor, become a part of a local work. You have to, in other words, learn things. When God called us to the ministry, these things, I would pray and the Lord would answer me. Ladies and gentlemen, I can honestly say that everything I've prayed, the Lord has done it for me. I have to say that. I don't mean that. That's not an overstatement. But I pray according to the wisdom and the word of God. He's been so kind to me. Call me to the ministry. But like any person, I heard this statement, I'd rather wear out than rust out. I began to preach. In my first year of evangelism, I did 51 weeks, 51 revivals. I've done that in 7 crusades and 11 conventions, just running constantly. And I went to Jonesville, Louisiana, and I was having chest pains. I didn't tell Kathy. I mean, I was preaching every day, sometimes twice a day. I'm talking Sunday through Sunday. I'd preach anywhere. I didn't care. It just gave me an opportunity to talk about Jesus. And my encounter, I never forget, I was at this pastor's home. In those days, we stayed in homes years ago. And I always like to read a scripture before I go to bed at night, kind of put the Word of God in my mind so it can saturate me. See, and something, the Lord would give me a sermon sometime in my dream or sometime in my sleep. And I keep a little cassette player and used to write them down. Now I don't. I just press the button and say, when I wake up, I'm going to preach on this. And I'll say it, record it, take it off, and go on back to bed. But I was reading my Bible, and as I read this Bible, and I had the sheet pulled up to about right here, and I had my Bible like this. And when I looked up, there's the biggest man I've ever saw in my life standing at the end of the bed. And he had long, blonde hair. And I looked at him, and it shocked me. It was 12 o'clock. I had looked just looked at the clock in my Bible, and there he was. And I said, oh! I mean, I didn't hear him come in. He just stood there physically like I see you people. And he looked at me. And he had blonde hair. I'll never forget him. And he said, I've been sent of the Lord to tell you to sleep. And now I'm going, okay. And I think what it was an angel of the Lord. I could physically see him like I physically see you. He said it twice. I have been sent of the Lord to tell you to sleep. Sleep. And ladies and gentlemen, I was kind of sitting up in the bed. My head hit the back of that head, and my Bible did this. And for 12 solid hours, I slept. I woke up at 12 o'clock noon the next day in the same position with my Bible on my chest. Felt like $1 million. I came out. Told the pastor, I said, there was an angel of God in your house last night. He said, you know, I got 2 dogs that were going nuts. He said, I told them dogs, you're waking up. I beat them dogs. He said, I done everything I could to get them dogs to shut up. And I said, well, I didn't hear them barking. I didn't hear nothing. I said, but an angel of the Lord came. And the first thing he said, what do you look like? I said, he's a big man. Now, he didn't have wings. But he was huge and had blonde hair. And I'll never forget that. Different things. I began to see angels, close encounters of the God kind. Preaching in a church one time, in the middle of my message, I was preaching. And it was not in a very big church. There was about 100 people there. maybe not that many, maybe pretty close, but not that many. As I was preaching, I went, glory! And I turned around, and when I stood, and I turned around, the whole choir, I mean, there was no one up there, were just angels, looked like shafts of light. And I stopped preaching. I forgot the crowd. I went, whoa! And this lady from the back of the church jumped up and said, I see them too! And I looked. I didn't know what to do. And they walked out of the choir. It's not a choir loft, it's just, you know, the seats there. As they walked out, I stopped. And one walked right by me. And he smiled at me. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you something. They walked right out into the crowd. The whole church fell out. Yeah, what, one person stand, boom, hit the ground. I mean, I just looked, wham, everybody knocked down. And I didn't have nobody to talk to, so I sat down. I literally did this. You don't have to believe this, but you wait till you hear this heavenly vision.
Stay tuned as the Heaven series continues.
I hope you're enjoying the show today. We so enjoy coming into your home. Ladies and gentlemen, we're bringing you in right now to a question and answer segment. And we filmed it at a Celebrate Jesus at a convention center. I'm telling you, these people ask some wonderful questions, and I believe you're going to enjoy the answers. And so many people want to know so many things about this series, about heaven, close encounters of the God kind. Watch as people ask wonderful questions.
What do you mean when you say you went to heaven? I mean, I don't understand.
Okay. Very simple. What do I mean when I said I went to Lubbock? I went to Lubbock, right? That's exactly what I mean, man. When I said I went to heaven, heaven's a place. Just like I come to Lubbock, I went to heaven. That's pretty plain. That's pretty simple. That's exactly what I mean. I mean, the Lord took me to heaven. Now, why you and not someone else? I don't know. You have to ask God that. I don't know. I mean, you know, I would have thought he'd have took Billy Graham, because Billy Graham's such a phenomenal man, you know, just a great man. And he's got a greater venue and a greater witness for Jesus, my Lord. Yet, the Lord took me to heaven. I just think he wanted me to be there and told me to go tell people that he was coming. And I thought, well, they know that, Lord. He said, no, they don't. You go tell them. And you think about it today. How many people out there in Lubbock ain't even thinking about God or his coming? Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is coming.
Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you're enjoying this show. I'm enjoying it. I tell you what, it is such a blessing of God to come into your home and minister it. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to miss next week. We're taking you to the very throne of the Most High God. It was one of the most exciting things that happened to me in my life. Brother, when God is on that throne, you hear, ooh, power like you've never seen before. Plus, we'll be talking about some wonderful people in the Bible. They are alive, ladies and gentlemen. They're more alive than we are. Heaven is a wonderful place. You got to go. You just got to go. You don't want to miss next week. I'm telling you what, when you see that part, you'll sense and feel the presence of God as I speak about this. We're not leaving any part of it out. And I know it sounds almost impossible to believe. I know that. But I tell you what, I had to speak it because it's touched literally hundreds of thousands of people all over the world are enjoying this. So I want you to watch this. You don't want to miss next week. Now, I'm coming back in just a minute. The show's not over. We have something to show you, and I'll be right back.
You see, heaven is wonderful. I walked out and saw mountains, streams, trees, flowers.
This wonderful message, Close Encounters of the God Kind, is now available on DVD for the first time in this special edition double disc set, including over 2 hours of bonus material containing never before seen footage.
You have an appointment with the great God Jehovah. Wind began to blow through my skin and my...
This exciting DVD set is now available at a special price of $22.
And I heard this. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. I hit the ground. I couldn't stand up. The light was so bright.
In addition, for a limited time only, we're offering a special value pack, which includes the book, CD, and new DVD set for only $32. This message will enrich and bless your life.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're enjoying Close Encounters of the God Kind. I'll tape off. It's actually not a tape off. It's a DVD. It's a special edition of Close Encounters of the God Kind. Now, what does that mean? That's a two DVD set in here, which means there's 2 hours of bonus footage you have never seen. So even if you've got Close Encounters, you don't have this. Glory to God. It will bless you. Think about it. 2 extra hours of unseen footage. You'll be blessed by it. If you'd like to get it, all the information's coming up on the screen. Maybe up there right now. Write us. Call us, contact us on the website. Praise God, you'll be blessed by it. You need to get this. It will minister to you. You that are watching outside the United States, please use that you see on the screen right now for your addresses, and we'll get it out to you. It will bless you. Think about it. 2 hours of unseen footage. Isn't that a blessing to God? So you are going to be blessed. Get this today. It will change your life. It's the special edition of Close Encounters of the God Kind. Thank you for allowing us to come into your home. You are such a blessing. And thanks for being a part of it. We love you. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
The Lord told me to believe for this intercontinental piece of equipment.
For one reason. To simply preach the gospel.
I don't care if you're Catholic or Baptist or Methodist. I'm not interested in what church or what denomination you belong to. But I'm interested in this. Do you know Jesus?
Join Jesse and Kathy Duplantis for a Celebrate Jesus Rally in scenic Tulsa, Oklahoma. Bring a friend for 2 anointed days of worship, preaching, and prayer at the Maybe Center located at 81 Street and Lewis Avenue. Service times are Thursday, September 16th at 7 p.m. and Friday, September 17th at 9:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. For more information, call us at Jesse Duplantis Ministries, 985-764-2000.
Then I heard this, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And the angel of the Lord said, come on quickly, we must go, he's coming. And I understand this scripture, suffer the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. And I saw a glorious light coming. And I looked at Abraham. He said, that's him. It's Jesus.